Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
All right, good morning. How's everybody doing today? Good. Well, I'm not Pastor John. That's a good thing. Because I'm not sure how he lives in that head of his sometimes, all right? Believe it or not, Pastor John and Michelle are in Italy. Isn't that something? I don't think he's ever been, but they're in Italy celebrating their anniversary and other things, and so they're enjoying a trip to Italy. He's coming back. He'll be back. At least we think he's coming back. So you never know, but he's coming back, and of course, he'll be kicking off the playlist series here, not this coming weekend, but the next. But they're in Italy. And if you follow them on social media, which you can do, you probably would have seen some things, some photos that they posted or whatever. But I'd encourage you to do that. And we actually have a video from him at the end of the service here. We'll show you here in just a little bit. But we're continuing on and wrapping up the 21 days of prayer. I hope you are able to participate in that in some way, whether you're able to come here in person. And I know for many of you that doesn't work out because of your schedule or the distance that you drive. Because we do have people that drive quite a good bit of distance to come here. But of course, it was online and it was restreamed every hour online. So hopefully you participated in one way or another. And we're going to wrap that up today. Now, we're going to do that again in January. And we'll give you more details about that as that comes. But I really encourage you, things like this are a wonderful opportunity to develop some habits in our life that can really help us spiritually. So we're going to wrap it up today. And now Pastor John's taken the last few weeks, and he's really talked a lot about stewarding our lives and our prayer life with a kingdom focus in mind, about what's been entrusted to us, about the precious gift of salvation, the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, and stewarding that with a kingdom focus. In fact, this whole 21 days was a kingdom focus and regarding our time in prayer, about praying out things about the kingdom of God and seeing the kingdom of God expanded in the earth, not just here locally, but around the world. And again, we're going to continue that today. We're going to shift it just a little bit, and then we're going to talk more about just simply you as a person and your personal prayer life, just you individually on your own, not participating in like a 21-day thing like what we just did or what's wrapping up, but more just personally. Because I think if you were to go and ask Christians about things that made them feel guilty or uneasy or that they don't understand or they feel condemned about, if you were to put a poll together and ask people things, I think one of the things that would come and be toward the top of that list would be prayer. So many Christians, if you want to make Christians feel guilty, just ask them about praying. Have you prayed lately? Do you pray regularly? Do you this or whatever? And a lot of Christians struggle with a prayer life. They struggle with it. And the reason they struggle with it is I think many times we attach so many things to it that are not biblical. It's more of a religious idea about what prayer is supposed to be. All right, so again, we did 21 days of prayer, 6 o'clock in the morning. We're praying for an hour, and actually you're not really praying the whole time there. There was some worship, short little teaching, et cetera. So the prayer time itself was about 30 minutes. But people would hear, man, from 6 to 7, you think, an hour? Yeah, man, that's like torturous, an hour. You expect me to pray for an hour? And then even you take it down to 30 minutes, they go, 30 minutes? Good grief. What am I going to do for that 30 minutes? I would submit to you that a lot of that is tied to our incorrect view about what prayer is. We've made it something that's almost like a religious exercise, and that robs us. To be honest with you, it actually robs you from something that actually should be very fulfilling to you as a believer. It should be something that's refreshing to you. It should be something that's easy to do, that you don't have to work up some religious mindset about to actually do, but it's something that should be a natural flow in your life every single day. And that's what we're gonna focus on today. Just really actually gonna look at a few scriptures, and this is gonna be pretty simplistic, but my desire today, and I hope in my prayer today, is that when you leave today, you feel a lot more at ease about praying. They actually begin to do it on a consistent basis and begin to develop a time and a relationship with God that's about you fellowshipping with your Heavenly Father. So believe it or not, you were actually designed to fellowship with God. We were created to fellowship with Him. And you'll see, we don't really use that word fellowship a lot anymore, except a lot of times in church circles or something like that. And so I put a little definition there so you can see that. And you can read what it says there. It's a friendly relationship marked by communication. It's a friendly relationship. And I would submit to you that most of us don't see prayer as that. We actually don't see it as something that's a friendly relationship that I have with God. That's marked by communication. It's marked by mutual understanding. It's marked by us spending time together. Most people do not see prayer that way. Yet you were designed by God to fellowship with Him. You go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. You go all the way back to the very beginning. And you had Adam there, and Adam had perfect fellowship with God. There's no sin in the earth. He fellowshiped with God. The Bible relays, and again, this is the account shows that after they fell, after Adam and Eve fell, that God was walking in the cool of the day. It made it sound like it's related as though that was a common experience that they had. It didn't shock them that God was walking around. Now think about that. God, however form or whatever that may have been in, again, the theologians want to argue about all that kind of stuff, and that's fine. We can just simply say God. Most people would point it to the Son Jesus, but anyway, God walking on the earth, and it didn't strike Adam and Eve odd that He was doing that. He had perfect fellowship. Man had perfect fellowship. But something I want you to see here is how religion can skew things. Sometimes people relate to you that all you need is God. All you need is that. If you'll just seek God, all you need is God. I'd submit to you that's actually unscriptural. Because in this same account, back in Genesis, God Himself has created all this wonderful stuff, and then God walks down and again, this is the Southern Mississippi paraphrase, all right? So God walks down and says, man, it is not good that this guy's alone. It is not good. So he needs some help. How many of you ladies would agree with that? Amen, right? Man, this dude, he needs some help. It is not good that he's alone. I better make somebody quick because these dogs and cats are not going to cut it. No matter what the dogs and cat lovers and all the other birds, all the other animals, all those other kind of things. God Himself said, it's not good that man's alone. God said that. So you actually need all the people that are in this room right here. You actually need them. Joel just got through talking about small groups. This is Rally Day weekend. You actually need to be in small groups. You need the relationships. This is a big building. Thousands of people come through here on a weekend. You can hide here. You can come and go and no one knows your name. It's the reverse of the Cheers theme song. Okay? No one knows you. No one knows who you are. All right? You can sneak in and out. You can do that very easily in this building. All right? And in this place. But you actually need the relationships that are right here in this room and that are outside these walls. You need that. All right? Because it's not good that man should be alone. It's not good that we should be alone. We're actually designed for those relationships on two levels. Again, with God and with other people. You need people in your life. You need those relationships. Not just those closest to you, but even outside that as a part of the body of Christ. You need those relationships. But man had that. Man had that relationship. They had that relationship with each other. They had that relationship with God. Perfect fellowship. And then man messed it up, right? Man sinned and lost it. But the good news is that Jesus came and bought it back again. That's a simplistic view of the gospel. Man lost it. And God sent Jesus Christ, His Son, to die for us, to buy it back for us. And again, you can read that in Genesis. We're not going to look at those scriptures. But man lost it. And of course, we know the typical thing. Of course, you know the whole thing is that, man, everything was good until that woman came on the scene. Right? Everything was good until you gave me this stinking woman that's supposed to be helping me. Right? And that argument's kind of been going on ever since, hasn't it? All right? But we're going to stop right there. It's important that you understand, though, man lost it. Man walked away from it. We're the ones that turned. But if you notice, God immediately came looking for man. God immediately came. God immediately was looking for us and said, hey, where are you guys? What are y'all doing? And again, my paraphrase, but what are you guys doing? Where are you? God came looking for us. Why? Because we're designed to fellowship with Him. We're designed to have that relationship. And where most Christians struggle, we struggle with that because we don't feel worthy of that. And that's what we're going to focus on today. It's probably one of the most common reasons why most Christians don't enjoy a fellowship with God. They don't enjoy a relationship with God that's real and that's genuine. So I'm going to go through a couple of scriptures here. If you'll look, you'll see them on the screen behind me. The first one's from a paraphrase, the Message paraphrase, Hebrews chapter 10, 19 through 22. It says, "So friends, we can now, without hesitation, walk right up to God into the holy place. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is his body. So let's do it. Full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word." Key thought in there. Again, it's a paraphrase, but even if you read it from a translation, the phrases are very, very similar. And the context of that and what God's trying to relate to us by the Spirit of God there is that it tells you the way into God's presence. Man had it. Man lost it. Jesus bought it back. And now, because of the precious blood of Jesus, he says, so let's do it. Let's just walk right up into God and say, "Hey, God, how you doing?" I would submit to you that most of us don't feel comfortable doing that. We struggle with that. If you really, really understand that God's telling you to say, so you know what? Just simply walk right up into the holy place and just simply say, "Hi. Hey." Most of us struggle with that. And what happens is, you know, the Satan is called the enemy of our souls. He's a liar. He's the enemy of our souls. He'll lie to you and tell you, "You're not worthy to do that. You're not worthy just to go, hey. You're not worthy to do that." He'll lie to you sitting here in church. While I'm talking to you, he'll lie to you. While I'm speaking, he's going to lie to you. And he's going to tell you, "Well, that's for everybody else but you. Because you did this, or you didn't do that. Or you did this, or someone did this, or that." And you can get all those kinds of things going on in your head and stuff, because he's the enemy of your souls. And if he can keep you from doing this, he steals so much from us. He steals from us, which of course is why he exists, I guess, right? Bible tells that he's here to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He steals from us. When we allow him to lie to us, or we lie to ourselves, we do it to ourselves. Sometimes we don't need a devil. We do a pretty good job on our own. Isn't that true? Where we condemn ourselves. We exclude ourselves. We eliminate ourselves, all right? But I'll tell you this, God wants you to do that. Just like that scripture says, it says, we need to understand the last part of that in that prayer phrase. It says, oh, it's not up there anymore. So that's kind of weird to turn around and, who is that guy? All right. Who is that old guy with the white hair? I don't know who that guy is. Right? But that's why it says at the bottom of that scripture, it says that, it says, let's keep a firm grip on the promise, but it says, let's do it full of belief, confident that we are presentable inside and out. Are you confident that you're presentable inside and out? The blood of Jesus made you presentable. And that's where a lot of us, we short circuit this because we've never really taken the time to fully understand what Jesus did for us. Jesus made you worthy. Jesus, it's not because I'm something special. I'm still a person. I'm still just a regular person just like you are. And this isn't saying that sometimes we don't struggle with things. This isn't to say that you have to be perfect or that you never sin or fall short. It's not to say that you don't have habits or things like this that you need to submit to the Word of God and put under the flesh. I'm not saying any of those things, because I mean, you know, the flesh can still talk to you, right? And you can still choose to yield to those things as well. But if you're not careful, you'll exclude yourself. But the Bible tells you that you are presentable inside and out. God has made you through his son, Jesus Christ, sent Jesus to die for you, shed his blood for you, loves you so much that Jesus died for you. Pastor John, last week, if you were here or you watched it online, you were able to see, he showed you the short little clip from The Passion, the movie, vividly illustrating just a small picture of what Jesus did just for you and me. That's crazy if you think about it. Shed his blood for us so that you could just simply go this, hey, how's it going? And what I want you to know today is that God wants you to do that. God sees you in Christ Jesus. You know, a lot of people have such a skewed view of the Bible. They have, and even as Christians, we have such a skewed view of this. Okay, we kind of mess it up. We had this idea that this book, in fact, again, even as Christians, sometimes we have this picture that all the words that are contained in this, we say, man, you know what this is? This is God telling me how terrible I am. This is God trying to send me to hell. This is God trying to fry my lips off. He's judging me, condemning me, telling me how worthless I am. That's how a lot of people see this right here. Even Christians view it that way because they've never taken the time to find out what Jesus did for them. But you know what? This book is actually, the Bible is actually God's love story about how he came to redeem you. You can go to the book of Genesis. We lost it. But you know, immediately God set in motion the plan of salvation. Immediately talked about his son coming. Immediately set things in motion. Just a few chapters into Genesis, here comes this guy named Abraham. Abraham shows up, and it's through Abraham that the Messiah comes into the world. In fact, as a believer today sitting in this room, you are engrafted into that same lineage. You are actually referred to as a son or daughter of Abraham. You're engrafted into that. And you know, you can go through the Old Testament, you can go through there, the whole Old Testament, and there's all kinds of stories in there, all kinds of stuff in there, right? But all through that, it's intertwined. Some people refer to it as the scarlet thread of redemption because it's all about redemption. This is a redemptive book, not a judgmental one. Sure, there's things in there, right? I'm not minimizing that side, but a simplistic theological view would be, you know what, this book, man was created. God loved us so much, set us in this perfect place. We blew it. God shows up and says, I'm going to fix that. Rest of the Old Testament is about God setting things in motion so that you could be redeemed. And then you get to the Gospels and God says, here you go. Here's the Savior. And the Gospels relays his son to us and shows us about the gospel, shows us about Jesus, the Messiah coming to us. And of course, Jesus, the Messiah is crucified, dead, buried, raised from the dead. For who? For me, for you. Crucified for us. Then you get to the book of Acts, and it's about Jesus building his church. Jesus builds the church, establishes the church, and sets those things in motion in the book of Acts. Then the whole rest of the Bible is all about what Jesus did for you. All those epistles, all those stories, all those things that are related in there is about Jesus. It's about God by the Holy Spirit telling you, this is what Jesus did for you, about who we are in Christ Jesus. And that's such an important little phrase about who I am in Christ. And recognizing what the blood of Jesus did for me. Because that'll help you when it comes to being willing to just simply step into God's presence and feeling comfortable there, presentable inside out. Let me give you another scripture. Hebrews chapter 9 says, just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God by the power of the eternal Spirit. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Jesus offered himself as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. But it says there, it says, purify our consciences. And I would submit to you, that's the thing that trips up most of us. It's our own thinking. It's our own consciences. And this is jumping into things that are talked about a lot in the book of Hebrews. And I know Pastor John went through Hebrews, but it's kind of a snapshot, all right? So there's a lot in the book of Hebrews, and a lot of it contrasts about how the Old and the New Covenant, the Old Testament, the New Testament, Jesus versus the law, all those types of things are in there. And this is sort of a reference to that, actually, in regard to just the Old Covenant. Because you know what? In the Old Testament, there were all kinds of remembrances about sin. It was always before them. People were always remembered. It was always put before them. That's what it means by the sin consciousness. I would tell you that most of us are we allow too much of the sin consciousness to dominate our life. That's what I mean by we'll either allow the enemy to lie to us or we'll do a good enough job ourselves that we eliminate ourselves. That's the sin consciousness. We actually stay focused on that. And yet Jesus came and redeemed us to purify our consciences. Because here's the key point that you need to understand is when I come before God's presence, I'm not standing in my own ability. I'm not standing in my own righteousness, so to speak, or my own justification. To use some big Bible words. I'm not standing in my own ability there. I'm standing in what Jesus did for me, about who I am in Christ Jesus. That's one of the primary messages when you get it past the book of Acts. All those books are talking about the establishment of the church, but it's also talking about who we are in Christ. This is what Jesus did for you. This is how God sees you. Did you know that God sees you as seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? You really know what that says? That actually tells you that even though you're sitting in this room, in God's eyes, you're seated at the right hand of God in Christ. That's kind of crazy. That'll mess with your head a little bit. All right? It's actually telling you, the Bible tells you that you are complete in Christ Jesus, lacking that you're complete in him. God sees you as complete. And here you go over there thinking, man, there's no way I'm, if this is complete, that's bad, right? The Bible tells you that you are without spot, without wrinkle, or without blemish. Did you know that? You can go into Peter and it tells you that you're a holy vessel. I'm a holy vessel. Think about that. And I could go on. There's countless scriptures about what Jesus did for you and how God sees you. The sin consciousness robs us of that. And again, it's a throwback into the old covenant, a throwback into the Old Testament where they had to constantly sacrifice things or bring offerings and stuff. Why? Because you're not worthy to be here. So in the old covenant, it was things like, man, okay, so at least once a year, you've got to present this and do this. There's even a section in the book of Hebrews where it talks about the blood of bulls and goats and stuff. It was impossible for them to purify, impossible for them to get rid of those, of the sin consciousness. Why? Because all the time you had to come to them, well, I'm not worthy, so something's got to die. I'm not worthy, something's got to die. I'm not worthy. It's rough being a bull or a goat or a lamb, right? Something's got to die. Something's, blood's got to be shed. Something's got to, and you know what happened? All that stuff was pointing to the Messiah because Jesus came and said, I'm taking it all. Jesus paid that whole debt. Once for all, the Bible says. Did you know that? Once for all, he did it. You know what? Many places in scripture you can find this or references or things similar to this where it tells you that Jesus came, died for us, raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, and you know what he did? He sat down. Why did he sit down? Because he's done. It's a finished work. Do you know Jesus isn't dying over and over again? You take communion or you take the Lord's Supper or whatever you may call it, the sacraments and stuff. Jesus isn't dying over and over again. You could go to, in fact, there's numerous references to that, even in the book of Hebrews just by itself. That's an unscriptural view of what that is. It's because Jesus ascended into heaven and he sat down. It's over. It's done. Once for all, the Bible says. One sacrifice for all. Shed his blood once for all. So as far as God's concerned, it's completely finished, which is why you can walk straight up to God and say, hey, that's why you can do that. It's because the blood of Jesus paved the way for you and I to go into God's presence. And again, that sin consciousness, because again, we know we're people, right? You do know you're a person. Okay. We know what we are as people. We know what we did yesterday, a week ago, this morning driving to church as you're ready to light up the whole car, right? Herding all those kids into the car, whatever it may be. You know those things. We tend to keep track of those things. But positionally in Christ, you are the righteousness of God in him, all right? So we know, again, we allow those things to mess with us sometimes because we know, we begin to view it, instead of viewing it in a scriptural way, we view it how we are because we're all still just people, right? We're all still people. We navigate this world every day, all right? And sometimes we have to put the flesh under. Sometimes we have to deal with things, right? You know, this is a few years ago and stuff. I'm driving down 19 here, you know. If you want to know what people are like, just drive down 19. That'll test your faith, patience, love, all kinds of stuff, right? Yes, it will. So, you know, I saw a survey. This was a long time ago, but it was a survey a long time ago. They took a poll of people about their driving and about their driving habits. One of the questions on there was, I consider myself an above average driver, an above average driver. Did you know that 95% of the people consider themselves an above average driver? Talk about deception. Now, I know that's none of us in this room. We are the 95%, right? Think about that. 95% of people felt like they were above average driver. That's how they saw themselves, all right? So I'm driving down 19 and stuff. And you know there's times when you're driving and you make a mistake or you pull or something. You don't see somebody. You cut them off or you pull out in front of them, you know, and you just know, you know, man, I just made their day, right? You know that? But then those other times, you're not sure. You're really not, I don't know how I ticked this person. You know you ticked them off, right? But you're not sure how. So I'm down 19, and so as I'm driving down 19, And all of a sudden beside me, and you know, you can see there's a car, you know, there's kind of right, a truck, is a guy in a pickup truck. So I'm in my pickup truck and he's in his truck and you can see this car. And I just kind of corner of my eye, just kind of see the car, like, you know, kind of moving around over there. And so I just glance over there and there's a guy over there kind of leaning toward me. Now the windows are up, but he's leaning toward me and stuff. And he is blessing my holy name. I mean, he's lighting me up, man. He's saluting me. He's giving me all kinds of salutations. He's greeting me and all those guys. And I'm thinking, and I kind of started semi-laughing a little. I'm thinking, man, and I'm thinking, I'm not really sure what I did to this guy, but I made his day, right? And he's just lighting me up. And the flow of traffic worked out where, I mean, he's able to stay over there for a while, you know, and I'm kind of, right? It's kind of a crazy thing and stuff. And so now, but again, the flow was where he's over the be over there for a while. And I mean, he's giving it everything he's got. All right. So eventually it kind of started to irritate me a little bit. At first it was a little kind of funny and I'm thinking, okay, you know, you've let me know I've irritated you. You can move on now. Okay. But he didn't, he just kept staying there and stuff. So eventually it started kind of irritating me a little bit. So being the spiritual person that I am, I must confess to you that as we're driving down there, and again, he's kind of going back and forth, and so I have to confess, I stuck my tongue out at him. Which, as you know, really, really it helped the situation immensely, right? But you know what? I actually felt convicted in my heart after I did that. I actually had to repent right there in my car. He eventually moved on because traffic kind of made it, you know, he eventually moved on. But I actually felt convicted in my heart about that. How do you know we're still just people, right? We're still people. We still navigate life. We still navigate real life. We still navigate things. And again, this is where religion or a religious mindset or a non-biblical mindset robs so much from us. It steals so much from us. That we think we've got to be this holier than thou. Let's clasp our hands and this is what prayer means and this is what fellowship with God means. And when you understand, God actually wants to be involved in your everyday life and wants you to talk to him just like you talk to anybody else. You know, God actually knows how you talk, right? It's not a surprise to him, okay? So he knows how you talk. He knows the words that you use. And it's amazing to me sometimes, especially, to be honest with you, ministers, pastors, we can be some of the worst. Where you'll pray or whatever, and you get King James English, and you get the thous and all this other kind of stuff. And no one talks that way. You don't talk to people in your life that way, but we feel like for some reason we've got it, oh, Holy Father, blessed be thy, you know, and you start doing all this kind of stuff. Now, I don't have the multiple personalities that Pastor John has, so I can't do the voices and things like this that he can, you know. But I've jokingly told him quite a few times, I said, man, Nuzo, you know what? There's lots of times those multiple personalities, they come in handy for you. Because the Godfather comes out, all kinds of stuff comes out, right? Man, imagine what's going to come back from Italy. Wow, okay. I hadn't thought of that until right now. Who knows what's going to come back? If he comes back out here in a shark skin suit and stuff, we're going to know, all right. Anyway. So, but I know, I forgot where my train of thought was now. Nuzo messed it all up. It's important that we understand as people that God wants to fellowship with us. He wants to spend time with us. And again, religion steals so much from us that we think that we've got to do it in such a phony way. It's phony. Everybody knows it's phony. And yet we still do it. Pastors and ministers will come out and they'll say things and they'll use words. No one talks that way. You ever been at people's houses and they do the blessing over the food? Oh God, blessed be thy holy name. We bring to you and thank you for this bounty and all that. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, what in the world? What is that? And it starts going on so long, you're sneaking food before it's over. True? You ever seen that? And people have this idea, it's got to be this. That's religion and a non-biblical view about how God wants to interact with us steals so much from us. Because we think it's got to be this formal, this stiff, this thing. That's why when people would hear things about 21 days, are you kidding me? That's my year. 21 days, an hour. Oh my gosh, an hour. And we picture it, and it's such an unbiblical view when you recognize God actually wants you just simply to walk up and say, hey, how are you doing today? And just take a few minutes and spend it in God's presence. Just talk to God. Just talk to him. God, how you doing? Well, I'm pretty sure you're God, so you're doing pretty good. So, but I need help with this right here. Can you give me some wisdom here about this? Can you help me with this? I pray for my children today. Thank you for blessing them today. Hey, school, for some of you, you're already in school. Some of you are starting this week. So you just pray for your kids and pray for their teachers, pray for their safety and peace and all this other kind of stuff. Did you know you just do that simple exercise, but don't get all religious and formal. Just simply talk to God, because he actually wants to talk to you. He wants you to do just what that scripture says. He wants you to, whether it's in the morning, whenever it fits into your schedule. You know, there's not a right, there's nothing super spiritual about praying at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. It can be any time. In fact, actually, the Bible says we're to pray without ceasing. So you're actually supposed to pray all the time. Why is that? Because it's actually about fellowshipping in a relationship with God. It is not some formal exercise. So you can pray wherever. You can do it as you're cutting the grass, driving the car, doing all kinds of stuff where you can just sit, because you're going to just simply talk to God. So I challenge you with something over the next couple of weeks. Just take 5 minutes, because for some of you, 5 minutes might be a struggle, because it's not something that's inherent to you. Because again, you've allowed things to steal from you about this relationship with God. Just take 5 minutes, just 5 minutes, and just come before God, because again, that can feel long. Okay, so that was about 4 seconds. Now, some of you are thinking, good, is he stuck? Does somebody need to hit him? So even 5 minutes can feel kind of long, can it? But 5 minutes, set a timer if you have to. Seriously, set a timer. 5 minutes, and yeah, I promise you, if you just simply thank God for the day, pray for your family, your loved ones, those closest to you, pray about your work, your job, your home, whatever it may be. You do that, you'll actually struggle to not go past 5 minutes, actually. But if you do that consistently, you'll be amazed. You know, I heard a minister tell a story, and she relayed this, that she was jealous about people and how they talked about their relationship with God. She was jealous about it. And because she'd hear people talk about, man, yeah, I was just praying and God showed me this and God spoke this to me and all this other kind of stuff. She says, man, I was getting jealous. She's like, because I'm not experiencing, I don't have that. I'm not experiencing that. People talking about, oh yeah, God showed me this scripture and God spoke this to my heart and God did this. She says, man, it really irritated. I wanted to slap him. It's like, it really irritated me. And she said, she's like to God, she said, God, I want that. I want that type of relationship. I want that type of fellowship. I want that. So you know what she did? Because of how she worked or whatever, she actually made a lunch appointment with God. And she had a field close to where she worked, or somewhere around the area where she worked, I believe. And she drove out there to this field at lunchtime in her car, and she made an appointment with God every day at lunch. That's what she did. And you know what she said? She said, God kept the appointment. God actually showed up. You know what? God will keep appointments. In fact, not will he. He does every single time. God will keep an appointment with you. You make it, he'll show up. He'll show up. The issue's us, not God. God will show up every single time. So I encourage you, make an appointment with God. Whenever it is, it doesn't even have to be the same time every day, okay? Again, don't allow yourself to slip into this religious whatever, this churchy, like, oh my goodness. You know what? You come in here and you see people worshiping God and they're lifting their hands and, you know, all kinds of stuff. We're praying for people and you see all this, the excitement attached to it. And people, especially if they're new sometimes or they've never experienced a place like this, you know, they'll kind of go, this is kind of strange. This isn't real. This is church. This is not church. I don't know what this is, but this is not church, and it's kind of scary me. You ever felt like that? This is kind of weird to me. Well, you know what it is in very simple terms. You know what it is? We actually believe God's alive. Amen. And that's not and I'm trying to put any other church or any other place down, but I'm telling you, we actually believe God's alive. He's alive. That means he's actually alive in your life and wants to be involved. And so we're going to worship God and act like he's alive. We're going to pray for people. You know why? Because he's alive and he'll show up in their lives. This room is full of people okay, that have had amazing things take place in their life because they pursued God or they asked God for this or they were struggling with this or some health issue or this or that. There's some people in this room, they shouldn't even be here today, yet you're sitting next to them. You know why? Because God showed up. You know why? Because he's alive. God will keep an appointment in your life. God will meet you right where you are. So I challenge you over the next couple of weeks, if you'll do that, God will keep it. And it'll help you in your prayer life. It'll help you as you go forward and pray, as you begin to develop a fellowship with God, a prayer time with God, where it actually feels normal to you, where it's normal to you to walk right up to God and just simply say, hey, God, how you doing? And you begin to talk to him and you begin to interact with God. And you'll be amazed how that 5 minutes expands. You'll be amazed. And it won't be burdensome to you. It won't feel weird to you. It won't feel strange to you because God will keep the appointment. He'll keep that appointment in your life. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for each person here. Father, I thank you so much for your faithfulness to us as people. Lord, I thank you that you are the God that keeps appointments. Father, I pray for each one of us in this room, Father, that you will help us, oh God, in this simple act of prayer, that we won't throw it into something that it's not, that we won't make it something that it's not, but Father, that we'll recognize it's just simply a time where we can fellowship, hang out, have a relationship with you. And I thank you that as each one of us, as we take a step, as we take the steps, oh God, to fellowship with you, you show up, you speak to us, you strengthen us, you encourage us, you minister to us by your Spirit. Your word becomes alive to us, oh God, that we recognize, oh Father, all the things that you're doing in our lives. I thank you, Father God, that you help us by your Spirit. And I thank you that you are the God who keeps appointments. You are the God who shows up. You are the God that moves in our lives. And it's my prayer, my earnest prayer for each person here, Father God, that over the next few weeks, as we just take simple steps to pray, simple steps to follow, to fellowship with you, that, Lord God, our relationship will grow deeper and deeper with you, and that fellowship will grow stronger and stronger in Jesus' name. Just keep your head bowed, your eyes closed just for a moment. If you're in the room today and you'd say, you know what, Pastor Steve, I hear you talking about a relationship with God. I hear you talking about fellowshipping with God. I hear you talking about how much God loves me and things like that. But I recognize God loves me, but I'm really struggling with it. I'm really struggling with where understanding that. Maybe you're unsure about where you stand in your relationship with God. You're unsure. Maybe you'd say very plainly, you know what, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. I've never asked him into my heart. I've never opened up my life and asked Jesus to be my Savior and your Lord. You know, the Bible talks about that we have to confess him as Lord. We have to open up our hearts and receive it. You know, salvation is a free gift. Jesus is a free gift, but I still have to receive it. It's free. I don't do anything to earn it, but I still have to receive it. So I encourage you today, if you're in the room or you're watching online and you're unsure about your relationship with God, or you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you've never taken this opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life, I encourage you, don't leave this room, don't disconnect from the feed here without asking Jesus into your heart. It's a simple process. We're gonna pray for you right where you're seated. I'm not gonna embarrass you, I'm just gonna simply ask you to raise your hand in just a minute, and we'll pray for you right where you're seated. So right where you're seated, I'm going to ask you, if you want to be included in that prayer, you say, Pastor Steve, that's me. I'm unsure where I stand with God, or you know what? I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. I've never done that. I've never taken that step. If that's you, just simply, very quickly, raise your hand and wave it just a little bit so I can see it so we can pray for you right where you're seated. Go ahead, raise it right now. Thank you so much. See your hand. Thank you so much. Yep, go ahead. Raise your hand. See you up there in the risers. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Go ahead and raise your hand right where you're seated. Thank you so much. See you there. Anybody else? You can go ahead and put your hands back down. Anybody else, real quick, you want to be included in that prayer? Last time. I'm not going to drag this out at all. Okay, thank you so much. Anybody else want to join these? We're going to pray. All right, let's repeat this prayer out loud together with those that raised their hands. And even if you didn't raise your hand, maybe you chickened out, you can still pray, all right? You can still do this, and Jesus will still come into your heart. Let's pray this prayer out loud together with those. Say, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name I come to you. I thank you for Jesus, that he came to this earth and he died for me, was buried for me, raised from the dead for me. Lord Jesus, I open up the door of my heart, the door of my life, and I ask you to come in. I receive you now as my Savior, as my Lord. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for cleansing me. And again, I receive you as my Savior, as my Lord, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you so much for praying with us.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.